Blog Talk Radio.
To inform, inspire, and empower Alcoholics Anonymous sponsorship, locally and internationally, to be their very best, both personally and spiritually. This is the mission of rumradio.org, an internet radio program dedicated to carrying the message of recovery to a world plagued by alcoholism and addiction. Alcoholism and addiction is the number one health issue in our world today, and rumradio.org is actively participating in the solution. Interviews with a plethora of people sharing their experience, strength, and hope. Live Sundays at 9 p.m. Central Time and rewound again on Saturday and Monday. Tune in to 12-Stepology at its best on rumradio.org.
Welcome and hello. This is Joseph D. with Rum Radio and rumradio.org, the most comprehensive 12-step sponsorship in the known and the unknown universe. I'd like to acknowledge WNAA, Troy Carter and Tony the Horse, who affords us the opportunity to broadcast live to their listening audience in Nashville, parts of Kentucky, and Sweet Home, Alabama. They do this for us as a public service presentation. They're required to put out so much time in public service, and since I know the guys up there, they said, hey, why don't we do it for you? And I said, you got it. And that makes it free. We have so little resources that we had to negotiate free. I said, look, I can only afford half of free. We would also like to acknowledge RecoveryToday.net magazine. It's one of the finer recovery journals, and they afford us from some print space from time to time. I'd like, also like to introduce my co-host, Harold B. He's a family intervention specialist, and he does the fine work with troubled families. And I personally believe the families are the basic unit of our society. And as the family goes, so does the country, so does the nation, basically so does the world. We have discovered that most of the alcohol problem, alcohol and drugs, and our prison population is peopled with children, or they're not children anymore, but children of all ages, actually, who have grown up without being taught correct principles. Once you teach a child correct principles, now they can teach themselves. But without that foundation, it's a crapshoot. The gangs, the clubs, the groups, they grow up latchkey kids, empty lot weeds. So they find from the mean streets the things that they were supposed to learn from home, from church, from school. So we depend on the schools to do it. They're not equipped to teach moral values in the school. That's not what their job is. That's not what they're there for. Basically, what happens is a lot of the times the teachers end up being babysitters. And, of course, the kids are very rambunctious, and kids have always been that way, but now we have no rod anymore. The rod's been taken away. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Am I advocating physical violence on children? No, not by any means. But at least there should be a disciplinary section somehow that has to be adhered to. But there is none. There is none for the most part. So, but that's not what the schools are there for. The schools are there to teach them the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic, and that's it. That's the only thing, that's their function, not moral, not into the moral dilemma, not taking them to church and all that. So now they grow up, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And, of course, that just continues on and continues on until they decide that jail looks good, like a good alternative, or worse, AA, NA, and CA are loaded with these guys coming in. Oh, by the way, we're not AA, we're not NA, and we're not CA. We're Rum Radio and rumradio.org. We're closer to the Paranoids Anonymous. The only problem is nobody will tell you where they hold the meetings. So, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Joseph. And I appreciate the opportunity to be on the air with you and to help you with the website from time to time. It is a fantastic website, all kinds of information about recovery and especially about working the steps and about sponsorship, how to find a sponsor, how to be a sponsor, and how important that is, how important that was to the founding fathers, and how important it continues to be. I owe my life to the program, and if it wasn't for people in the rooms of AA and NA and Celebrate Recovery, I wouldn't be here today. So I really enjoy coming on the air with you, going back to basics, teaching folks about recovery and what really works and what doesn't. And one of the most important aspects of my recovery is my prayer life. It keeps expanding and expanding. And so that's our topic for tonight, and I really appreciate that topic. I want to mention to our listeners that this is not a commercial enterprise. Joseph, nobody here makes money from the website or the radio program. In fact, quite the opposite is true. Joseph has spent thousands establishing the website and maintaining it, establishing the radio program and maintaining that. And so I appreciate him doing that. It is really a great resource. Let me turn it back over to you, Joseph.
Okay, thank you, Harold. Well, we usually like to start the show with some information from out of the basic text of Alcoholics Anonymous. Although we don't adhere to any, we're not affiliated with AA or NA or CA, like I had previously mentioned. I like using the information in the big book initially because that's the template for all 12-step programs. The only difference from the other 12-step programs usually is step one, which mentions the problem or the addictive substance. All the other 11 steps are about the same, and what they do is they mention the solution. It's called a design for living. And we live in the solution, not in the problem. Once we focus on our differences in step one, we're headed for a deeper ditch. There's no reason to do that, my experience. I wrote to this before. I believe drugs and alcohol are equal opportunity destroyers. Now, I'm not advocating that people with gambling addictions or sex addictions or eating disorders come into AA. No, I'm being real specific. Alcohol and drugs belong in AA, NA, and CA. The difference is that there's just more AA around. It's a physical phenomenon. There's more AA clubs than NA clubs, than CA clubs. And so you go to where the closest club is. Now, if you are a drug addict and you have the choice of the two in approximately the same location, you feel more comfortable in AA, God bless you. No problem. But if you're living in a town and they only have AA, you know what? You go to AA. You're not going to find such a drastic difference that it's going to interrupt your ability to attain and maintain long-term sobriety. We use the word sobriety. Yeah, we use the word sobriety. NA uses clean. We give out chips. They give out keychains. Wow, what a huge, huge difference. No, there is no difference. Absolutely none except for the first step where one talks about narcotics, the other one talks about alcohol. It's okay. There's a little loss of empathy if you have a sponsor who's never done drugs. I don't know where you would find this guy. If they still exist, I don't think I've met a few alcoholics that have never done drugs. And on the other hand, I've met some drug addicts who have never done alcohol. But you know what? You could have a sponsor that's never done drugs and work with a drug addict and vice versa. You know, and it works. because the 12 steps works. Rarely, and this is, leads me into how it works. And this is how it works from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, Chapter 5, page 58, third edition. That's the one I have. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Though those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves, those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. They're such unfortunates. They're not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go, absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to them. What's up? Yeah, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Most of us exclaim, what an order. I can't go through with it. Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we're willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God could and would if he were sought. Yeah. And you'll hear that in most AA meetings in the very beginning. And the first three propositions are the first two steps. So when people say, I'm still on step two, well, let me tell you, Chief, If you were listening during the prologue, you did your first two steps. we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. Step one, that probably no human power could have received our alcoholism. Two, and God would and could if he were sought. Basically, you're almost practically a three. So you do that every meeting. We do the first couple steps in every meeting. So you don't have to drag it out. So, Harold, we're going to do for all the prayers, it's on the website, it's on the Rum Radio website. It's under the captain's table. It's one of those pieces, permanent posts on the rumradio.org website. A friend of mine did this, Oliver V. out of Cedar Park. I know Oliver probably as long as I've been in the program, about 15 years. I was there when he got in. I saw him come in for the first time. And we've been in contact ever since. One thing or another, we always seem to run into each other down the road. So the title of the piece is For All the Prayers That Are Fit to Print, the Big Book Index. If the only prayer you ever say in your entire life is thank you, it will be enough. Meister Eckhart. Why is that, Harold?
Well, I believe every meeting is a gratitude meeting, and my favorite prayer is thank you. My second favorite is Lord, help me. So back to you, Joseph.
Well, you know, I had read the scriptures one time, and it says we're supposed to pray continuously. And I go, well, how do you do that? I mean, you know, if I'm on my knees all day, I'm not going to get nothing done. So, but I looked it up, and it was there, and it said to keep in your heart the Psalms, which are the songs of David, in religious songs, and in thanksgiving. An attitude of gratitude is a prayer unto God in and of itself. Isn't that cool? So thanksgiving in itself is a prayer, being thankful.
Yes.
Sometimes when I have a sponsee and they're melancholy or life on life's terms are getting a little bit too much and they can't get the ease and comfort that comes from that first drink of alcohol, I suggest making a gratitude list. It's very powerful. Once you start one, it's just amazing. You start real small. I'm grateful that I have my shoes. I'm grateful I have my breath. I'm grateful for the program. I'm grateful for my car and my house. And all of a sudden, the list just seems to get a mind of its own. You start looking around at all the things that you're grateful for. It's really quite amazing. You don't feel that when you first start. It's like you start it begrudgingly. You don't really even want to do this, and it kind of like drags the pencil. But it's like a railroad train, you know, like the little engine that said he can. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Well, that's the way it works. And then all of a sudden, about 10 minutes into it, you got 40, 50 things you're thankful for, and your whole attitude has changed. Your
that
mind
is
has
the
changed.
Truth. Yes. I give that assignment to couples I work with. I tell them to sit down and make a list of 30 things you value about your spouse. And some guys whine and complain about it. And I had a couple come in last week, and he said, you know, I thought that was a rather assignment, but after I sat down and started it, it was actually quite easy, and I really enjoyed it a lot. Then they take the list and read it to their spouse, and then each day of the month they can emphasize one of those points on the list, either write it on a sticky note and put it somewhere she will find it, and she can put one somewhere he will find it, and it's actually very, very helpful to change our attitudes and change our thinking and make the relationship super positive. That's one of my favorite assignments. Joseph?
You know what I've realized, Harold, that I prefer to surround myself with positive people because negative people are much too busy surrounding themselves with themselves.
Yes.
This is part of this on the website. Understand that the index is meant for reference only. There are numerous places in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous where it asks us to stop and pray. when things have gone from bad to curse, and you need to speak to God because you're in a lurch. Your throat has a lump, and the words get stuck. Try the Big Book Prayer Index to get you over the hump. Like that, Harold?
I like it. Good work.
Thank you. This is an attempt to compile all those instances into one document. You may say to yourself while reading some of these, well, that doesn't apply to me, my specific situation. Let me assure you that if you substituted some of the verbiage to fit your own life, it will fit perfectly. This was meant to take passages directly from the source rather than to create new prayers for the steps or the principles behind them. Remember, we shouldn't let our prejudice deter us from asking ourselves what they really mean for us. And I'll start. Yeah, I'm going to do some, and then I'm going to have you do some. How's that sound? Does that work for you?
Terrific.
Okay, good. All right. The second step question. Do I now believe, or am I willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? Page 47, We Agnostics. So what is that saying? You're asking a question. Basically, you're asking a question, is there a God? You see it? Do I now believe,
and,
or am I ever willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself?
And I love that part, because if we don't really, if we're not at that point where we believe, maybe we're at that point where we're willing to believe, or willing to be willing.
Willing to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said this today. The key is willingness. The problem with willingness is that it takes discipline. The problem with discipline is that it takes motivation. The problem with motivation is not now becomes mañana. So what the Big Book is asking you to do is to be willing, just a mustard seed, the smallest amount of willing, but to be willing now, not tomorrow. Start being willing to look at it. God is like a parachute. It works best when open. All right, I'll do the third step prayer, and then you can do the third step prayer by Dr. Bob. Dr. Bob's had his own third step prayer. This is the third step prayer found in the Big Book, page 63, how it works. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and do with me as thy wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always.
Amen.
I like to do it. There's no amen on it, but it sounds like there should have been. But Bill decided no amen at that point. I think he tried whatever he could, a little sidelight. It's on the Facebook. We were having a discussion, something I came across. Christ is mentioned twice in the Big Book. Did you know that, Harold?
Yes.
Page 11, Christ twice. The devil gets one shot at it. The devil's mentioned once. And Christ is mentioned twice. Not Jesus, though. Jesus is never mentioned in the Big Book. Now, there's many false Christs, but there's only one Jesus. And it's interesting that in the third tradition, the term is used, what would the master do? Who says that? Nobody says that. It's always been, and it is today, what would Jesus do? So they specifically did not put the name of Jesus into the Big Book or into the traditions. Why? Because it's the only name that causes a passionate response for good or for ill. And the goal was not to have any secular religious overtones. my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And years ago, so I was great. I really didn't understand the Bible much, and I didn't understand Jesus. And so I was grateful that it was a more generic look at spirituality and not specifically Jesus Christ. Now I'm a student of the Bible and I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And so, but I was grateful for the way they handled it when I first arrived 26 years ago.
Yeah, that was why they did it. I believe that's why it was done that way. Dr. Bob was a Jesus guy. He made no bones about it. I think he was a deacon in his church. He read the Bible every day. He mentioned Jesus in the meetings, all of that. Bill was more of the agnostic flavor, and I believe what Bill ended up doing was going to seances, Ouija boards, and LSD, looking for God at the wrong address. But any event, what happened was this is supposed to be a spiritual work, and the individual grows from it. Bill called it spiritual kindergarten. So we're in a spiritual kindergarten, so everybody's welcome. What I tell my sponsees, they can pick any higher power, anything greater than themselves, but I usually suggest not a doorknob. Because eventually the doorknob will turn on you.
Oh, no. How about a
light
bulb?
All right, go ahead. Why don't you do the... Oh, you like the light bulb? Well, a lot of people do it because of Bill's white light experience. They go for the light bulb. But I think... which it's terminally uniqueness. It's an indication the more abstract and profane your higher power, the more unique you are. The more unique we die of terminal uniqueness. So this is the ego saying, I'm really different, I'm really special, so I got to have a really different, special, and unique God of my understanding. So why don't pardon me?
It's been said that God created man, and then man turned around and returned the favor.
Hey, really? Third step prayer used by Dr. Bob. You want to do that?
Yes. Dear God, I'm sorry about the mess I've made of my life. I want to turn away from all the wrong things I've ever done and all the wrong things I've ever been. Please forgive me for it all. I know you have the power to change my life and can turn me into a winner. Thank you, God, for getting my attention long enough to interest me in trying it your way. God, please take over the management of my life and everything about me. I am making this conscious decision to turn my will and my life over to your care and am asking you to please take over all parts of my life. Please, God, move into my heart. However you do it is your business, but make yourself real inside of me and fill my awful emptiness. Fill me with your love and Holy Spirit and make me know your will for me. And now, God, help yourself to me and keep on doing it. I'm not sure I want you to, but... do it anyhow. I rejoice that I am now a part of your people, that my uncertainty is gone forever, and that you now have control of my will and my life. Thank you, and I praise your name. Amen.
Amen. That was Dr. Bob. Did you ever see that one before?
No, I'm not familiar with that one, and I really, really like it. I like it. He says, I'm not sure I want you to, but do it anyhow.
I really don't know anything right now, but I'm taking that shot. All right, here's the third step prayer used by Clarence Snyder. Clarence was one of the original AA people. He really believed that Clarence would say he's the one who really started AA, not Bill. Clarence Snyder and Grace, the amazing Grace. Dick B. writes about it. He was very fundamental in the Akron area in getting AA off the ground. He started the third group in Cleveland. Cleveland, right, not Ohio. Cleveland. I always say that that's what a certain section of hell looks like, an endless winter in Cleveland. Now they did this, both the sponsor and the sponsee on their knees. Sponsor says, God, this is Joseph. He is coming to you in all humility to ask you to guide and direct him. Joseph realizes that his life is messed up and unmanageable. Joseph is coming to you, Lord, in all humility to ask to be one of your children, to work for you, to serve and dedicate his life to you, and to turn his will over that he may be an instrument of your love. And
wow.
Now the sponsee repeats after the sponsor, Lord, I ask that you guide and direct me and that I have decided to turn my life and will over to you, to serve you and to dedicate my life to you. I thank you, Lord. I believe that if I ask this in prayer, I shall receive what I've asked for. Thank you, God. Amen.
I like
powerful
it.
Stuff. Yeah, it was powerful stuff back then. You got to remember, though, they were more of a Christian-based understanding than Schneider and Dr. Bob were more Christian-based, would be more like Celebrate Recovery.
Yes.
They would be like,
yes.
Bill was more the atheist, agnostic, spiritual kindergarten, all's welcome, take the tree, take the doorknob, take the light bulb, no difference to us. Okay, why don't you do after step five prayer?
Okay, after step five prayer. Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart, and we know him better. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to page 59, which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first five proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything, for we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? Page 75, into action. I like that.
Oh, and that, yeah, well, that's you know, what the sponsee is supposed to do. At returning home during the hour. This is, I even have some fellas, some sponsors, what they'll do is they'll make sure that the big book is up on a shelf. some get a little fanatic. Oh, you don't have a shelf? Build a shelf so you can put the big book up on it, because the big book says taking the book down off this shelf. You need a shelf. There are guys like that. Trust me. Okay, this is the seven-step prayer. When ready, we say something like this. My Creator, I'm now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and to my fellows. Grant me strength as I go from here to do your bidding. Amen. Page 76, into action.
I like that
Harold
prayer
H.
a lot. I really like the part about being more useful to God all the time. That's really helpful for me. It's a great way for me to think about it. When I mess up, I'm useless to God. When I can get back on the right track, when I can pray and the Lord puts me back on the right track, then I can be more useful to him. I don't want to live being useless. Joseph?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a seven-step prayer. If you see, there's the whole energy between the prayers or on the prayers is becoming more useful. When we're in the service of our fellow creatures, are we not in the service of our God? And when we're in that service and in that moment, are we not divorced from self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity? And in that service and in that moment, is that not when we make our conscious contact with our Creator, who lives from moment to moment, eternity to eternity, life everlasting? The magic words in AA is action and more action, for faith without works is dead. So these prayers are telling us, be continuously engaged in a good work. The best good work we can do is to stay sober and help the next sufferer. That's the good work. Okay, eight-step prayer. Before taking drastic action, which might implicate other people, we secure their consent. If we have obtained permission, have consulted with others, ask God to help, and the drastic step is indicated, we must not shrink. Wow, that's pretty intense, isn't it?
Yes.
Drastic action. We must not shrink, whatever it is. There's a story I tell. It comes from Danny B, he's a circuit speaker, and I heard him tell the story originally in Austin. He's funny as heck, goes all over the world. He's really in demand. He's always on the move because he's funny. He's that funny. He's hysterical. He was the third man in a felony robbery, and I know his sponsor, John Henry, and John Henry told him, he said, you have gone so far down the scale that the only way you were going to stay sober was you're going to have to turn yourself in to the police for that felony. What do you think, Harold?
That I've spoken with people before, and that is the conclusion we've come to together also. But I really like how this story ends. Go ahead.
So Danny was kind of reluctant. You got to remember now, each circumstance has got to be spiritually motivated. Like I said, I have to take drastic action, which might implicate other people. We secure their consent. So in other words, he wasn't married. The guy was single at the time. If he was married, this would not have been the suggestion. But then again, the sponsor can only make a suggestion and tell you what he believes through his experience with the consequences of not following through with that suggestion. That's it. You can do that. I believe this would happen, but we don't know. If he decided not to do anything, well, you know what? You just move on. You just move on with the steps. You don't have to get locked in. It's just a suggestion. So what he did was he took the suggestion. He went to the police officer, the detective, who had been working the case. He knew who it was. The other two guys that got caught never spoke. When they say dime on, they didn't, dropping the dime. The telephone used to be dimes. It was, you know, you put a dime in and then you could call the police and squeal on your friend or rat him out or tell the police what the deal was. But no one ever, his two associates did not turn him in. So they didn't know who the third guy was. So he went in and he told the detective who had been looking for him for quite the time and couldn't find him. He said, I was the third man in that felony robbery. Yeah, I'm working an AA program and I'm required to do this. The police officer paused, turned around to him and said, you know, the man who did that robbery would have never come in and made that confession. Why don't you go home?
I love it.
And Danny always says, I'm in AA for life. I'm in it. I'm in AA for life. He'd always end it that way. You can see why he's in demand. Let's see, where are we now? Bill W.'s eighth-step prayer.
Yes.
I was to test my thinking by the new God consciousness with common sense would thus become uncommon sense. I was to sit quietly when in doubt, asking only for direction and strength as he would have me. Never was I to pray for myself except as my request bore on my usefulness to others. The only might I expect to receive, but that would be in great measure.
That's beautiful.
That was Bill's eight-step prayer. You want to do the nine-step prayer?
Yes, I'd be glad to. Yes, there is a long period of reconstruction ahead. We must take the lead. A remorseful mumbling that we are sorry won't fill the bill at all. We ought to sit down with the family and frankly analyze the past as we now see it, being very careful not to criticize them. Their defects may be glaring, but the chances are that our own actions are partly responsible. So we clean house with the family, asking each morning in meditation that our Creator show us the way of patience, tolerance, kindness, and love. Page 83 from Into Action. Wow, that is beautiful. And that is what I do on a weekly basis with the guys I work with, and the ladies, and their families. I like to get the kids in there too. The more the merrier. I meet with people in my office, and that is what it's all about, is developing, asking God to show us how to be more patient, more tolerant, more kind, and more loving. That's really a terrific paragraph. Page 83.
All right, Doug. So the 10th step prayer. The 10th step, remember, are steps 4 through 9 in a single package taken in the present.
Yes.
Once we've done the 4 and 5 like that and we're finished with it, unless something comes up in the past, we're really not required to do it again, although the big book says, periodically we do a major house cleaning. So folks have taken that to go through all of the steps again. And you know what? It works really well for them. I wouldn't dissuade them or suggest otherwise. But I believe that if you're doing a regular step 10, there's no sense of going back to the past. Unless you're not doing a regular step 10, things will pile up and that the regular house cleaning becomes warranted, usually in the spring. You know, we celebrate, there's a celebration to do that. It's early spring. We call it Cinco de Mayo. So we don't get into that sinkhole of behavior. We do a regular and thorough house cleaning. Step 10 prayer. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered into the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly. If we have harmed anyone, then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. Page 84, Into Action. What I've discovered is that it's easier to swallow crow while it's still warm. When cold, it has a bitter aftertaste of egret. You like that?
Yes, this is really, really important. And I work with a man. He was a sponsor for me along the way, and he really took this one to heart and would stop himself in mid-sentence anytime a little dishonesty crept in, anytime he was rounding the sharp corners of the truth, or he was equivocating on something, or maybe fabricating a little bit, exaggerating. He would stop himself in mid-sentence and say, you know, I misspoke. What I should have said here is this. You know, that fish was 11 inches, not 15 inches. So dishonesty, selfishness, resentment, and fear. If we can stop ourselves mid-sentence and take care of those as our responsibility, then yes, we will grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is called repentance on an active level, and I really like it. We don't hear much about repentance anymore, but I think it is the cornerstone of recovery. We've got to rethink things, change our thoughts, change our attitudes, and we end up with the list? Patience, tolerance, kindness, and love. So those fit together. Joseph?
I've come to the understanding that first you get knowledge. And with that knowledge, get wisdom. And with all that getting, get understanding, which is the practical application of both knowledge and wisdom. We grow in effectiveness as we grow spiritually. That means we can help more accurately, more succinctly, more efficiently, because we've grown spiritually. No better. When much is given, much is expected. Okay, this is Bill W.'s bedside prayer. There I humbly offered myself to God and then understood him to do with me as he would. I placed myself unreservedly under his care and direction. I admitted for the first time that I of myself was nothing, that without him I was lost. I ruthlessly faced my sins and became willing to have my newfound friend take them away, root and branch. I have not had a drink since. Page 13, Bill's story.
Wow, that's magnificent. Magnificent.
Yeah, there's a lot of scripture that goes along. Moses, seeing the glory of God, realized that man was nothing. Of this he never supposed. So Bill gets to see, that's really why I know Bill had that spiritual experience. I know it on a couple levels. Some people dismiss that in the program about his white light experience. I believe and know for certainty, as much as I can know anything in this veil, on this side of the veil, that really did happen. Because his insights were too profound, and I've read other people having similar profound, exactly the same experience. It wasn't just him. It was not just him that makes it profound. It's in the mouth of the second witness the matter shall be established. And I've heard other people say it, so the matter has been established to me. He did have that experience. Otherwise, he couldn't have written something like that.
I agree.
Step 11, Harold?
Okay. I love this one. It's from page 86, Into Action. On awakening, we consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance. For, after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. That's from Into Action, page 86. That is powerful, isn't it?
It is, very much so. You could see how the spirit is supposed to grow. The big book says, our sobriety is contingent upon the maintenance of a daily spiritual condition. Of course, I ask, what maintains itself of itself? Nothing. You're either growing spiritually or you're declining spiritually. And if you're declining spiritually, your recovery and then your sobriety becomes tentative. I call the term restless laurelitis. A body in motion tends to stay in motion. A body at rest tends to get drunk.
Yes. And what I like to do throughout the day, I pray these four little prayers, and that fits with our Step 11 prayer, asking God to direct our thinking. I say, Lord, who should I see? What should I say? What should I do? And how should I do it? I repeat that prayer often. Sometimes God says, well, you don't need to see anyone right now, and you can be quiet and listen. But that really gives me a great guideline for how to make decisions throughout the day. Lord, who should I see? What should I say? What should I do, and how should I do it? Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. Spiritual maintenance prayer. Now, we see how maintenance came in. Every day is a day we must carry the vision of God's will into all our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not my will, be done. These are thoughts which we must go with us constantly. We can exercise our will as long as this line, all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. So I said when we're in the service of our fellow beings, that's the proper proper use of the will when we're helping someone.
Oh, and we missed the second half of the Step 11 prayer throughout the day.
You said it. Oh, the front part?
Yeah, I didn't say the end.
Oh, go ahead.
Shall I read that one?
Yeah.
In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here, we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still, inexperienced, and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it. Page 86 and 87, Into Action.
All right, and then we did the maintenance, proper use of the will. Meditation prayer. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be. That would be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no requests for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. Page 87, Into Action. It's
I
the
like
shopping
that
list. Yeah, what it's telling you is ditch the shopping list. It doesn't work. No more shopping. You don't get your daily bread. You don't get your daily Mercedes. You don't get your daily blonde. Give up the shopping list. We have something better for you than a shopping list. Like God's going to decide what you're going to get. Anyway, give up the illusion of control. Okay, now see, we got the agitated or doubtful prayer. You want to do that one?
I love this one. Folks, when agitated or doubtful, I use this so much. At first, I used it just constantly. Not so much anymore, but it still comes in handy. Do you want to read it?
Well, go ahead. You can do it.
Okay.
You can do it all the time. Go ahead.
As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. That is a nice package, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yes, it is. Boy, I wish I was doing half of this stuff. I'll tell you right now.
It's a good list.
If you want to hide something from an alcoholic, you put it in the big book. You know, come on. It was years before I even know this stuff was in there. Who put it in there?
Yes.
When did it come in? Who put it in there? It works. It really does. We alcoholics are undisciplined. We let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. Page 87 through 88 into action. Now, the 12-step prayer. All right. Now, we've had a spiritual awakening as the result. Now, we've got a prayer to go along with it. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. A lot of folks think it's reveal, it's disclose. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. So see to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you have found and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless and keep you until then. Page 164, A Vision for You. Why
Love
is it?
It.
Yeah, it's great. Why is it you think that the authors of the big book capitalize certain phrases and words? Great reality, road to happy destiny, etc. Could it be these words and phrases have something to do with God?
Yes.
Certainly. All right, you want to do the anger prayer?
Okay, thank you. Anger prayer. And this one, here we go, anger prayer. This was our course. We realized that the people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. Though we did not like their symptoms and the way these disturbed us, they, like ourselves, were sick too. We ask God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. When a person offended, we said to ourselves, "This is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done." That's powerful. That is really one of the pinnacles of the entire book, I think. when somebody wrongs us, we've got to say, this is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. That is a that's just terrific. What do you think, Joseph?
I think anger could be as heady as whiskey once you've gotten a taste for it.
And all the new brain research is the same thing.
Yeah, well, that was a saying I picked up from actually somebody else, but I couldn't find who said it, so I grabbed it. What we find with anger is that it creates a form of, and I've had arguments with people who insist that they had a healthy anger. And I said, you know, that's funny you should say that. I have a healthy wrath. which helps, you know, and I forgot exactly what it was. It was funny, though. Yeah, healthy anger. Only an alcoholic would come up with something like that. Because I don't want to give it up yet. Yeah, I don't want to give the anger up yet, so it's healthy for me. It gives me energy, and, you know, and I do good things with it. No, yeah. We avoid retaliation or argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. If we do, we destroy our chances of being helpful. We cannot be helpful to all people, but at least God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view of each and everyone. Everybody, gosh, page 66 through 67, how it works. Everyone, no slack in that one. All right, I'll do the fear prayer. We never apologize to anyone for depending upon our Creator. We can laugh at those who think spirituality, the way of weakness, paradoxically, it's the way of strength. The verdict of the age is that faith means courage. All men of faith have courage. They trust their God. We never apologize for God. Instead, we let him demonstrate to us what he can do. We ask him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what he would have us be. At once, we commence to outgrow fear. Page 68, how it works.
That's powerful. We never apologize to anyone for depending upon our Creator.
Creator, yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to use that. I could do a cut and paste on that one all day, especially with all the folks in AA. there's a lot of folks that really have a hard time with spirituality. They call it religion, but I think that they're basically they have a hard time with spirituality, and they'll call spiritual things religious because now they can put a handle on them being disgruntled with something spiritual. So they have to name it. Something that is objectionable. But it's really just spirituality. Spirituality is all-encompassing. It's acceptance.
Right.
Yeah, you don't challenge somebody because their views of spirituality is different than yours. You know, come on. But anyway, okay, well, you got the sex prayer. Go for it. Have a good time.
All right, the sex prayer. And this is from page 69 and 70 in How It Works. In this way, we tried to shape a sane and sound ideal for our future sex life. We subjected each relation to this test. Was it selfish or not? We asked God to mold our ideas and help us to live up to them. We remembered always that our sex powers were God-given and therefore good, neither to be used lightly or selfishly, nor to be despised or loathed. Whatever our ideals turned out to be, we must be willing to grow toward it. We must be willing to make amends where we have done harm, provided that we are not bringing about still more harm in doing so. In other words, we treat sex as we would any other problem. In meditation, we ask God what we should do about each specific matter. the right answer will come if we want it. We earnestly pray for the right ideal, for guidance in each questionable situation, for sanity, and for the strength to do the right thing. If sex is very troublesome, we throw ourselves the harder into helping others. We think of their needs and work for them. It quiets the imperious urge when to yield would mean heartache. That's page 69 and 70 in How It Works.
Thank you.
Wow, that is really meaty. I like that.
It's funny, when you break it down like this, it has that much more of an impact.
It really does. First, we realize it's God-given and therefore good and not to be used lightly or selfishly or despised. That's just terrific stuff.
And a few of the other prayers. Yeah, go ahead.
Really good therapy. That's all.
Well, all we got to do, Harold, is get them to read it on the webpage. It's all there for a point and a click.
Yeah,
it's amazing how much. A point and a click, no fee, no charge, no registering. It's all in Word. It could be cut and paste. It could be printed out at their leisure.
Yes.
What are they thinking? Oh, I guess they're not. They're not. It's a not thinking.
Right.
They must be up to something. He's making money. He's trying to be famous. What's he up to? I'm not going to look. Hey, how about the next time I just send you some darning needles? You could poke out your eyes. And then you could just listen. Okay, here are some of the other prayers commonly used in a program and at our meetings. These aren't in the big book, but these are some of the prayers we use. The St. Francis prayer, big one. Lord, make me a channel of thy peace, that where there is hatred, I may bring love. Where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness. That where there is discord, I may bring harmony. That where there is error, it may bring truth. That where there is doubt, I may bring faith. That there is despair, I may bring hope. That where there is shadows, I may bring light. That there is sadness, I might bring joy. Lord, grant that I may seek rather to comfort than to be comforted, to understand than to be understood, to love than to be loved. For it is by self-forgetting that one finds. It is forgiving that one is forgiven. It is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
Saint Francis, yeah, it's powerful. You know, St. Francis was never ordained. He went to the Pope. They wanted to ordain him as a priest. He passed. No thanks.
Yes.
You guys got too much gold. You're missing the boat here, Chief. But
yeah.
Listen, Frank. Look, you got a good following. You could help us. No, I'll pass. Thank you anyway. St. Francis was known to have been seen in the forest dancing with God. Heavy guy. Heavy duty guy. Really had the spirit
heavy
with him. Yeah, he was heavy duty.
And the Serenity Prayer. May I read the entire Serenity Prayer?
Please.
So many times it's the end of it is cut off.
Go ahead.
Here's the whole thing. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did, the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Amen.
Amen. Is Jesus in there? I didn't see that. Did you put that in there? You put it in there.
It is in the the author's original copy.
Okay. Well, I'm okay with that. I mean, it just seemed like it fit, but I didn't see it. I go like, well, how did it fit in there? I don't see it. Where is it? I'm reading it. I can see how that would be in there. And why did they take it out? Why would it be taken out? Because it smacks of religion.
Yes.
They don't want it. Jesus is the only name that will cause passionate response. No other name will do that. Think about it. There's no other name that is going to get it. I ask people, what's up with that? Don't you think there's something spiritual about that fact in and of itself? But most folks recoil, and they don't recoil particularly because of Jesus. They recoil because of the Christian industrial complex, the way people have used his name to gain money, power, and prestige. And all the things that have derived from that has caused him to have a bad name. But his ideals are love, tolerance, mercy, forgiveness, charity, and service. Well, those are all the AA ideals.
Yes.
So he's right on the money when it comes to recovery ideals. That's him. It's the people that came after him that converted convoluted these concepts for money, power, and prestige. I read a thing one time about priestcraft, and it says the art of awing the laity, managing their consciousness, and diving into their pockets. Jesus had nothing to do with any of these folks. You know, this is something that came up. If you look at Jesus's his story, the 32 pages he's got in the Bible, all what he says is program proper. Right there, squares it. Right there. So it's a shame that the industrial complex has usurped that vision. But anyway, that's life. People can't seem to take the name and the man from the complex. And it's a shame. It really is a shame. Here's the set-aside prayer. This is often said. You familiar with this one, Harold, the set-aside prayer?
No.
Dear God, please set aside anything I think I may know about myself, my disease, the big book, the 12 steps, the program, the fellowship, the people in it, all spiritual items, and especially you, God, that I may have an open mind and a new experience with all these things. Please help me to see your truth. Amen. The work in this compilation, is that good?
That is really powerful.
Open-mindedness.
You can't put anything in a cup that's already full.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to empty it out. A mind is like a parachute. It works best without contempt prior to investigation. Nothing will hold a man in utter ignorance and bar from any argument. And the concept of contempt prior to investigation, open-mindedness, and principles before personalities are all concepts found in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Why are they in there? We have met the enemy and he is us. Because we do have contempt for an investigation, we're not open-minded, and we will look at the personality before the principle and every opportunity. That's why those concepts are in the big book.
Right.
The work of this compilation was done by Oliver V. from the halfmeasures.com internet, Facebook, and blog talk show. He doesn't do a show anymore. Oliver got ill, so that's what happened. But he did this, and then let me have it. Oliver is an old chum and an old friend who never ceases to amaze me with his generosity of heart and his ability to share even the spotlight. Thanks, pal. Joseph. Any last words, Harold?
Well, this is terrific. It's been, again, it's been an honor to present our ideas and our experiences. I hope it's been helpful to some of our listeners, our radio listeners and our archive listeners. And so let us know if this has been useful to you. Drop Joseph an email or call him on the phone. So this program has enriched my life so much, saved my life. I'm really grateful that Dr. Bob and Bill Wilson met back in 1935 and that all of this was the result. It's really helped millions and millions of people. So thanks for doing the website and the radio program, Joseph. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome, Harold. I think we had a caller come in, but I wasn't watching the board. Oops. Well, there you go. If you're still listening, sorry about that. We got involved. So in closing, I hope you were listening. This is great stuff. I got a lot out of it. I've heard stuff that I've read before but never seen. Or I had seen but never heard. I don't know how to put that, but it had an impact on me. So it was good stuff. Words to live by. There's no doubt about that. So I know when we're in the service of our fellow beings, we're just in the service of our God. And that's what we do here. We try to be of maximum service to God and our fellows. We make no money. We claim no fame. We're just out there to be of maximum service, to pack into the stream of life the best we can do. And we can do quite a bit. One man can make a difference, and you could be that man as well. So, in closing, yeah. In closing, we like to tell you we're in 151 foreign countries, including Mississippi, 2,800 towns, cities, and villages, and between 300,000 and 400,000 hits to the website. We're all over the world, including Nepal. You know why they like us in Nepal, don't you?
They like our yak.
They like our yak. Yeah, you got my jokes now. Yeah, they do. We're in Nepal and we're in India and we're in Ireland and it's just the islands of the sea. So the internet is a miracle. We've never would have gotten this far before the internet phenomenon, before Facebook and making these contacts. This will grow. I believe it has enough momentum that it will continue to grow in time. It takes time sometimes. Time takes time, but it will make an impact, I believe, for the very best of what the program has to offer. So if you're looking for sponsorship information, both how to find a sponsee and how to find the sponsor, close with this. It's a misunderstanding from the traditions. Attraction, not promotion, does not go with sponsorship. Three times in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it gives you clear-cut direction. Go find a prospect and start working on them. One. Two, if your prospect is not interested in what you have, go find another who's desperate enough to want what you have. And three, on page 19, the man making the approach speaks of having the answer. The man making the approach, go find a prospect and go find another. So three times it's telling us for the person with experience to go get the new guy. You don't have to wait for the new guy to figure out that he needs you. Get him quick. The best chance of a newcomer attaining and maintaining long-term recovery is to get them soon. Sooner the better. When the pain is still acute, the iron is hot. That's when you make your strike. So, again, remember, you're looking for sponsorship information, we'll see you on the radio, rumradio.org. Good night, Harold.
Good night.